Well, y'all really do look good today. It's wonderful to have you here. It's wonderful to be a part of a very full spirited service. And it's always a joy just to be a part of that. Beth Arms is going to come up. And in a minute, we're going to be joined by Carl, or at least we're going to swap spots here. But why don't you take a seat just for a second, Beth? Beth came to Maywood in 1996. And I didn't realize it had been that long, but it has been. And there's some things that we do here at the church that are just very basic. And I will guarantee if you will just do them, it will make an enormous difference in your life. First thing is to pray. Just to talk to God. How do you pray? You hear me talking? That's it. It's amazing that the words that come out of our mouth and come out of our heart, God actually hears those words, and it makes a difference in our lives and in the lives of other people. Prayer opens the door to God. And so if you do not have a regular practice of praying, please do it. I was talking to a fellow one day about his prayer life, and I said, how do you pray? Well, I pray, and I said, how long do you pray? About 3 minutes. And so he's a welder, and I said, did you learn welding in 3 minutes a day? No. So give it some time to pray, all right? Spend some time with prayer. And then the second thing to do is to read the Bible. And for some of us, reading is not easy. And so you can get on your phone, if you've got a smartphone, and most everybody does, you can get the Bible played to you, all right? And I recommend Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Over and over again, immerse yourself in the life of Jesus. Now, if you want to get into Deuteronomy, talk to Rudy, all right, or somewhere else like that, Leviticus, Numbers, just visit with Rudy, he'll help you out there. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just stay there, immerse yourself in the life of Christ to start off with. And the third one is very, very important, and that is to obey what God says to you. God is going to speak to you, and it won't be maybe every day, but there'll be a day when the words get bigger and they're bolder, and it's like God is saying, this is for you today. You know, one of those things. And when you get that from God, you need to obey. Beth has been doing that for a long time. She has just been living that little process out that we talk about. She's been living that out, and it has taken her all the way to the little country of Ghana in West Africa. And today, I had to find God on the map. When I started praying for Ghana, I pulled it up on Google Maps. And I go to Google Maps when I pray for that so I can look at the country. And I had to find that place.
So as you can see, one of my ministries in Ghana is with truck drivers. The truck drivers are coming from other West African countries, and most of them, they're 95% Muslim in the other countries. So they're coming down, and they're away from their villages and their homes. When they come in, they don't know how long they'll wait there for a load to come, and they don't have family there. So when we go in, we tell them that we know their jobs are dangerous. We want to hear about them, and if they have time to share, to pray for them and share a short story from the Bible. And early on, God gave us favor in answering their prayers. And so when we came back and they saw us, it gave us credibility in their eyes. And when we do things like the medical clinics and there's something physical that we're doing, it gives credibility also. So it's amazing work that God's doing around the world in the Muslim communities. So I'd encourage you to pray for them, but it's exciting to see what God is doing in West Africa. So we use stories from the Bible to share the gospel.
All right, so just really quick, you all don't take big family Bibles and whack them upside the head and say turn or burn or anything like that?
No, in fact, sometimes I even forget my Bible. I don't even bring it with me. Normally it's in my bag, but I've learned the Bible stories I can share it just like I'm talking to you now. So when I sit down and they see we care about them, they don't argue, they listen to the stories, and then it's amazing as we ask questions how you can see God is working in their lives.
Okay, I want to underscore that. It's very important because not all of us are going to go to Ghana. Beth is really soon. But what she's talking about fits for us too. She listens to people. She cares about people. She prays for people. God answers their prayers. That opens them up to hear the message. And then she knows the message well enough she can tell it to them and they can dialogue about it. Y'all got that? That is a great thing to hear when you're doing things. The reason why I kind of teased about the family Bible, whacking them upside the head, there's some of us that try to do that. Maybe not at Maywood, but there are other places, those wrong churches. And so listening really does work. All right. So, Beth, you have a very luxury place out in Ghana, right? You live in the lap of luxury, correct?
So, actually, my place in Ghana compared to where most of my friends live is actually probably very luxurious. However, there I struggle sometimes. In fact, right before I came back, I was struggling with no water. For the 30 days before I came back, I didn't have water more than I had water. They cut the electricity off many times, and I was parking my car about a mile away because of road construction. So when I got on the airplane to come back, I wasn't sure I was going to get back on it here to go back across the ocean.
There you go. All right. So I just wanted to point that out. And so you've got lack of water. My wife would hate it if her husband did not have water frequently, because the odor in our house would increase. Lack of electricity. Park your car about a mile away. And we talked about it. Beth is a single female in a predominantly Muslim country. And we just talked the other day about the loneliness factor, just the grinding, painful loneliness that's real. I mean, and it doesn't go away. God doesn't wave his wonderful magic wand and say, okay, Beth, never feel lonely, never hurt, never have a problem. And yet you're going back. So tell us about that.
So as I just mentioned, when I got off the airplane, I actually didn't have a return ticket for some reasons. And I wasn't sure I was going to get a return ticket, even though I'd made a commitment to go back for 2 years. There's a two-year-old child in Ghana that calls me grandma. His family is Muslim. When I bring him to school, I'm bringing him to a Muslim school. And about a month ago, he had a baby sister, and they did a baby naming. And I'm part of their family, so I needed to be a part of that. So that Sunday morning, I called and spoke to them, and then I came to church here at Maywood. And I went into the adult six Sunday school class, and they were talking about eternal life. And when we think of eternal life, we think of life forever in heaven with God. But they were also talking about eternal life in hell. And just the reality of that for people I love, that's forever. I thought, God has called me there. He's put me there. He's opened doors for me to minister. So even though there are lonely times and challenging times, I've learned to take bucket baths really well. And anyway, so I made the decision that at least for that two-year commitment, I would get on that airplane and go back.
Amen. Amen. That's great. It's huge. Back in the days of Charles Spurgeon, that's 100-plus years ago in England, greatest preacher England's known, Spurgeon tells a story of a minister going to a man who is about to be hung. And he was talking to him about hell. And he was trying to make his case, and the prisoner who was about to lose his life looked at the minister and said, "If I believed what you were telling me about hell, I would crawl all over England, if need be, on my hands and knees to tell them about Christ." Now, you're not having to do that, but you are leaving the States to go to a place that is physically uncomfortable to tell people that you love and Jesus loves more than you do about him. And you're putting yourself in a really sometimes difficult place to help folks come to know Jesus, all right? So I think we ought to get an amen for that. So we're gonna read a Bible passage that is a really good one. So Glenn, if you'd put it up on the screen, please. This is from 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul wrote it, and it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it so they can get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So let's talk for a minute. Beth, why don't you tell us what that passage says to you?
Coach Jake gave me this scripture earlier in the week and asked me that same question. You know, my response to him was, for those of you that know me, you know that I exercise and I walk 5 days a week. But unless you know me very well or you've asked me specifically, you don't know my motivation for doing that. My motivation for doing that is so I can eat chocolate every day. And so I'm not running a marathon. I'm not training to be a huge athlete. So there's not a lot of pain that's involved in that. So I do it. But when you look at the spiritual walk, the race, the spiritual race, it's running for chocolate isn't worth it. But running for a crown that will last and the opportunity to share the gospel is worth it. But with that, there comes some pain. So for me, thinking about that scripture, realize that what I'm going through is part of the race that I'm running, and I want to run it to win.
Fantastic. Amen. Let me, before you leave, and I'm going to tell some of Beth's story because I think it's really important for us. When Beth was a young woman, her plan was to marry a preacher and to be a pastor's wife and to live in that relationship, husband doing his ministry, wife supporting the ministry. And she did that. She married a preacher who then ran off on her and left her a single woman. And when that sort of thing happens, you have a choice. When difficulties come, you can just cave in and say, well, I'm giving up. God cheated me. God didn't treat me right. You know, God and I had a deal and he didn't do it right. And you've probably had some of those thoughts run through your head and you've gone through them. But her behavior was she was faithful to God. Amen. And she has been faithful to God all the way through from that time till now. And so she didn't chart her life. When it changed, she was willing to be led by the Spirit. Am I okay? Is that all right? And you have any more you want to say about that? No, all right. So I want to say that to us. Here's what she does. She prays. She talks to God. She reads the Bible, and the Bible informs her praying and gives her direction for life. And then she does the next right thing, which involved going to Ghana a few years ago and going back to Ghana for a couple of more years. She does that because the Lord says so. Now, the Bible says to us that there's going to come a time where the Lord is going to say to her, well done, my good and faithful servant. In fact, he's been saying that more than likely. And there's going to come a time where she's going to receive an award that God gives to those who have faithfully loved and served him. And so I say that to us that we might be spurred on to some of the love and good deeds that she has outlined for us. All right? Beth, thank you. Want to say a word?
Yes. I do. One quick comment. There are times where in ministry, I don't feel very effective at all. In fact, I'm wondering if what I'm doing is even making a difference. And if it's not, then why am I there? Sometimes I think those are lies from Satan, and sometimes those are things I just need to work through. But I think for all of us, that's the case. We wonder, are we being effective in our race? And know that if you are praying and reading the Bible and you are asking others to pray for you and you are acting on what you think God is doing, you are being faithful. And whether you feel like it or not, you need to believe that.
That's right. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you, Beth. All right, Carl, come on up here. So we have one point to make, and our one point is pray, get in touch with God, read your Bible, and when God tells you something, do it. That's our one point. And I said in the early service, I'll say it again. Sometimes people like Beth are folks that we look at and we say, well, I can't be like her. It would be like a high school running back thinking I could be like Sherkendrick West and saying, no, there's no way. All right? But so we have Carl up here to say, you can. All right? How many of y'all know Carl? A few of you? All right. How many of y'all go to Inglewood Cafe? All right, he's cooked your food for you up there at Inglewood Cafe, just in case you're wondering. So on behalf of all those people who said they had a good meal, you're the one. I asked him, what is his favorite thing? He says, smothered pork chops. Y'all go in and request it on the menu next time you go in, all right? We'll get it figured out. So Carl has a story very similar to Beth's. Even though he's not gone to Ghana, he's just gone up the street to Inglewood Cafe. So we're going to talk about that. So first of all, you've always believed in the Lord, but you got connected with the Lord's Salvation Army. Tell us about that.
I started volunteering at the Army a few years ago, picking up on the bread truck and everything. And one day God spoke me to be one of his soldiers. It's like a disciple through Army. So I done their covenant and signed it, and I didn't get their uniform because to become a true soldier, you become a uniform and go through the school. I'm not there, and I don't feel like I need to be there. So I started doing that, and then we moved into this neighborhood, and the wife started going to this church and small group class, and the Lord spoke to me that day.
Hold that mic next to your mouth. You can only use that hand.
The Lord spoke to go to these classes and everything, and a co-worker, Cassie, I talked to her about, I'm not sure if I wanted to go to Coach Jake's class. So I started going 4 weeks into it. I opened up to all the guys in the class, and I never opened up to myself, to anybody. I'm always the shy one, and my wife will testify to that for me. So I just opened up to everybody in that room, and it led me to where I'm at right now.
There you go. Amen. So one of the best things we have going is not Sunday morning church. That's not bad, but one of the best things we have going are Wednesday night groups. You get a really good meal at 6 o'clock, 6:30 you break up, have men's groups, women's groups, and that's the place where you apply Christianity. And so in their groups, there's a few things they do. Tell us what they do.
We read a scripture in the Bible, and then one of them will stand out, and you write it down, and then you put it in your own word, and then you act on what that verse done to you. So I started doing that, and then...
Stop for just a second. You are too good, Carl. Hang on, man. So I want to make a point. Did y'all hear that? You read a Bible, you put it in your own words, and then you forget about it. No, right? You do it, right? And so I have a kind of a axe that I like to grind. Jake's homesick. He doesn't know I'm doing this. But one of my axes is preaching as entertainment. And Bible study is entertainment. So I learn another piece of information that sort of tickles my ears, makes me feel good. But I'm not planning on doing anything with it. I just want to learn something new. All right? So this method is a little different from that. You learn something that you're going to do, and when you go to class, they ask you, did you do it?
I've done what you read this week.
So tell us about it. How does that work for you?
So I started reading and putting in my own words, and a coworker, an ex-con, which I'm not judging nobody if you guys are.
There's nobody here like that.
But she was reaching out to me, and we started becoming good friends. And I started talking about myself to her and everything. And well, her sister started working, and then I started helping her. But her sister was trying to get me fired from there by lies and everything. So when that started happening, I just dropped what I was doing that day, and I forgive. I said, Lord, help me forgive this lady that's trying to do bad on me. And when I did that, he took care of my situation and got me. Her sister Rhonda closer to helping me help her with whatever she was going through.
All right. Amen. Thank you. That's good. Don't leave. I just think that's great. So you've got a lady who, and you've had one or two troubles in Ghana, right? Right. And you run into troubles. But when you walk with the Lord and you're talking to Him and you're listening to Him, He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit to work through those. So nothing's super simple. I would never want to make you think it's super simple, but the power of God is there in the time of difficulty as you connect with God, as you read His Word, and as you follow it out. So tell us about home.
After going to these classes, me and my wife are talking a lot more than from our year one marriage. And I'm showing my one-year-old daughter how to be a man of the Word.
There you go. Come on. That's great. Folks, it doesn't get much better than that. You got anything else, Carl, you want to say?
Just be courageous in whatever you have in life. The Lord will tell you. And if He has it on your heart, like He does with me, one word will get you to go there.
That's it.
Jake told me he had a challenge, and I had to step up to take his challenge.
There you go. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you, sir. Perfect. So it's real simple. You read the Bible, all right? You talk to God about it. And then when God asks you to do it, you go do it. Now, let me tell you something. God's always going to ask you to do something. You think, what, me? Carl, when Jake called you up and said, would you help preach on Sunday morning? Right. Come on. That's it. So God asks you to do something that's a stretch, but I want to hear it tell you. The Spirit of God helped you minister to us today. So we're thankful for that very much. And Beth, you've had a few things that have stretched you. And yet the Spirit of God keeps you going on. And the reason why we tell these stories is because here are people that are just like us. And if we will say yes to God, we will have a story just like them. All right. So today, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you ought to say, Jesus, while I'm praying in just a second, Jesus, I want you in my life. I desire you to be a part of my life. I mean, Beth was talking about heaven and hell. You want to have heaven on earth all the way as you're going to heaven, and you want to turn away from having hell on earth all the way to hell. And so you can just say, Jesus, come into my life and be a part of me. Live in me. Make me new. Anything like that. He looks at your heart, not your mouth. So you can make that your prayer. And then there's a bunch of us who need to start praying every day and reading our Bible every day. And then when God tells us to do something, to do it. And let's do that. Okay, so I'm going to pray a blessing over you. And Carl, thank you very much. And Beth, thank you so much. And amen. So, Lord, we thank you for your absolute goodness. And I thank you for the day that Beth met you, and I thank you for the day that Carl met you. Lord, I thank you that most of us have had a time we can point to it and say, there was a day when we met Jesus Christ and He became our very best friend. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon the man or the woman or the young person here today who has not made that decision. And I pray that even as I am praying, they will just be saying, Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sins, and come into my life and make me a new person. And Lord, we just say thank you that there's somebody, or maybe somebody's plural, who have just done that. And now, Lord, we ask that you bless us with the ability to connect with you every day in prayer and to connect with you as we read your word. And then, Lord, as you speak to us, that you'll give us the power to do what you tell us to do. We ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great day.